The disciples make a big splash and breakfast with the risen Jesus in the gospel this morning. Wading in the water, remembering our baptism, and eating with Jesus, celebrating Holy Communion, is our weekly encounter with the risen Christ. Jesus asks us with Peter again and again, "Do you love me?" And Jesus invites us again and again to follow him, bringing the Easter life to others. We celebrate with our call to worship.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able for the opening hymn. Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The peace. Chapter 9. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, though that he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." We will read Psalm 30 responsibly. "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me.
Lord, my God, I cry out to you, and you restored me to health.
You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave.
Sing praise to the Lord, O all you faithful. Give thanks in holy remembrance.
God's wrath is short. God's favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping spends the night, but joy comes in the morning.
While I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed.
You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear.
I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with my Lord, saying,
what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy.
Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever."
The second reading is from Revelation chapter 5. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with a full voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing, 'To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen,' and the elders fell down in worship." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And they said, "We'll go with you." They went out, got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Well, just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he's naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards. When they'd gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard, hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And there were so many, the net wasn't torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dare ask, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and he gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. It was now a third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John," or Jonah, "do you love me more than these lambs?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed the lambs." Second time he said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said it again, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt. He said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you,
Lord Christ.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, to God's beloved people, grace and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our risen Savior, and the Holy Spirit our Counselor. Amen. The Gospel of John, which we have this season of Easter, doesn't tell us how many days have passed since the resurrection of Jesus. But the Gospel of John does give us some very interesting facts. First of all, seven disciples have left Jerusalem. Seven disciples have left Jerusalem and walked 80 miles back to the Sea of Tiberias to the village of Cana in Galilee. They're not fishing for men any longer, are they? But they have returned to their old lives and their old lives and their old familiar environment, and they have become fishers of fish. When Simon Peter says to him, "I'm going to go fishing," the other six disciples follow his lead, and after a night, they've caught nothing. But just as daybreak comes, things begin to change. A stranger on the beach calls out to those fishermen, "Children, you have no fish. Put your nets down on the right side of the boat. You'll find something." So they do as the stranger says. They follow his lead. And of course, to their amazement, there is an astonishing catch of fish. So great that they're not able to haul it all in. 153 fish, John reports. I like that. 153 fishermen count. It's kind of the trophy catch. And John lets us know that they were big fish. I mean, men aren't going to catch little fish. Big fish, a big catch, 153. It's so abundant and full and overflowing that the disciples and John are a bit surprised that the nets don't break. Peter catches on first, and that's no pun. Peter catches on first. "It's the Lord," he says. "It's the Master," he says. I mean, who else is responsible for such abundance? Where are they? They're in Cana, on the Tiberian Sea. Peter remembers Cana of Galilee. That's where Jesus first called them. And they were at a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the wine was exhausted. And Jesus' mother says, "Do something. Let the celebration continue." And so he tells the steward to fill these vats with water, and they're transformed into the best wine you could imagine. Peter remembers it was the Lord in Cana who took a few loaves of bread and a few fish that a child had offered up when asked the disciples to go and feed the people, and they said, "We can't feed so many." And Jesus instructed them to sit them down And he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, and 5,000 men and women and children were fed. There's never a traditional communion story in John's gospel. Instead, Jesus shows abundance where all are fed and all have enough and all are included as a sign of the inbreaking of the abundance of God's kingdom in Jesus' life in John's gospel. And Peter in Cana remembers that it was exactly in this city, in this town, some 3 years ago, that the other disciples were all excited about this new prophet from Galilee, and he came upon Peter's boat, asked him to set out and put his nets down, and Peter kind of, well, you don't catch fish in the daytime, but yeah, okay, we'll do it. Do what the prophet says. And the fish nets go down, and there was an abundant fish catch that nearly sunk the fish. Now, Peter's no stupid guy. Peter knows all of this. He remembers this. And so after a night of unsuccessful fishing, Peter knows it's Jesus who's calling them from the beach. Jesus has to be the source of such abundance at such an occasion as this. And he jumps out of the boat, and with joy in his heart, he swims 100 yards to shore to see Jesus. Now here's a fact for you. In John's gospel, Jesus has three resurrection appearances. The first one is with Mary at the tomb. She's stricken with grief, doesn't recognize him for the tears flowing in her eyes until she hears the voice of the Lord speak to her, Mary. And then she responds, Rabboni. And she knows it's her master. She sees with her eyes after she hears the voice of Jesus speak to her. That's the first resurrection appearance in John. The second resurrection appearance of John is with Thomas, who doubted Mary and the other disciples' confession even after Jesus had appeared to them in the upper room. And Thomas says, unless I see and touch and feel, I won't believe. And lo and behold, the second resurrection appearance is when Jesus shows Thomas the nail holes in his feet and hands and the gash in his side. And it's a post-resurrection appearance. Thomas falls down for his sight and hearing and seeing, my Lord and my God, my Master. And Thomas, like Mary, leaves the 12, takes off for India, the farthest of any disciple, and goes to share the good news of Christ's resurrection and his victory over death for all. So this is the third resurrection experience. And I think this witness story of the amazing catch and the disciples' shore lunch with Jesus and the charcoal fire and the invitation of Jesus to come have breakfast shocks all of them a little bit. But most notably, Peter. None of them dare ask, who are you? For they all knew it was the Lord. But one of them, Peter, experienced that meal very differently. And I'll tell you why. It has everything to do with the fish burning along with the bread over the charcoal fire. Warming his hands over a charcoal fire on that terrible night when Jesus was arrested. And there was a little girl in Jerusalem who said, you, aren't you one of the master's disciples? You're one of his disciples. Yes, you are. You're one of his disciples. And three times Peter over that charcoal fire says, no, I am not a disciple. I don't know the man. I am not. Three times over a fire, warming his hands, accosted by a young child, he tells the world and himself that he is not a disciple of Nazareth Jesus. And now with that charcoal fire and Jesus sitting there, you don't think Peter's heart's bumping a little bit? You don't think his armpits are itching and scratching? He's a little nervous, a little uptight? I'll bet he is. I'd remember that experience. I'd make a connection. I'd have that, oh no, feeling in my tummy. Well, somehow he manages to eat fish and bread with the others, and when the meal's over, John reports that Jesus turns to Peter, kind of like I'm going to look at Adrian here, and center him out of all of the people. He's going to look at him, and he's not going to call him by his name, Peter. Simon bar John, or Jonah. Simon bar Jonah. That's really important. You know, I grew up, my name was Scotty in my family. It was my family name, my happy name, my everything's A-OK name. But whenever one of my parents said, Scott Douglas Jones, oh God, it might have well been Jesus calling me to task. That was my formal instruction, my baptismal name. This means we have serious business to discuss. And so Simon bar Jonah is addressed by Jesus, do you love me, 3 times? In front of the other 6 disciples, next to the charcoal fire with a fish smell burning and the bread toasted. Lord, I love you. You know I love you. Yes, I love you. Lord, you know everything about me. 3 times he's addressed. And 3 times Jesus says, feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. Jesus is investing in Peter that call of discipleship to follow me that Peter first heard on that very Sea of Tiberias after that very first great catch of fish where he bowed his head and said, Lord, I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, I know, but follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And now Jesus is calling Peter back to his vocation. And with Peter, the other disciples, to leave that old way and that old life and become followers of Jesus. And Peter is given grace and mercy and abundance, and he's being renamed and reinvested and reordained into the vocation that Jesus has for him. And Peter accepts this calling. And then Jesus says to him, in rather ominous tone, I know you will follow me. I know you will be my disciple. I know you will be faithful to me this time. And Peter, your fate will be not that much different than my own. But that won't stop Peter this time. It won't stop him. He'll go to the ends of the earth. He'll go to the cross. He'll become a disciple of Jesus, a proclaimer of the gospel, a herald of the good news. And this is partly, I think, the good news in John's gospel. Not just the abundance of God's mercy and grace, but the words being told over and over again, 3 times, my sheep, my lambs, my sheep. And it's really easy to miss that in kind of all the spectacular things, but that's who you and I are. We are the sheep of Jesus. We are the lambs of his pasture. We are the good shepherd's beloved lambs. And God, 8 times in the Old Testament, is described as the shepherd of the sheep of Israel. And Jesus, over and over again, is identified as himself, the good shepherd of the sheep. No one will snatch them from my hands, he said. I am the good shepherd. I'm not like that hired man that will run away, but I will stay and lay down my life for my sheep. Peter has been charged with that calling, and he will indeed follow it. So this gospel is good today. It reminds us of who we are and to whom we belong and what we are. We are the sheep of the Lord's pasture. the gospel also reminds us that maybe in our own lives and vocations, we've fallen away, gone back to our old lives, lost that vigor and vitality for the investiture to be the disciples of Jesus in this world, however and whatever way God has given us gifts to be. And so this Sunday, this third Sunday of Easter, as we prepare to receive the bread and wine of communion and to share this meal with the Lord, it's good to remember who we are and to whom we belong, and that we, like Peter, have been given a calling and a vocation as well. And maybe, like Peter, we can say to the Lord, "You know I love you. You know everything about me. Yes, Lord, I will follow you."